Hello. Yes, well, I'm here. Oh, my God. They're all here. I think I'm just here just to say, you know, it's fantastic to be back at the Cavern. I've come back because I've done a rock and roll album called Run, Devil, Run, and we're plugging it. Plug, plug. But basically, what better way to rock out the century? This is where it all began. And for me, this is where the century is going to end, with me playing rock and roll, which, if you remember the Beatles, before the Beatles was a fabulous little rock and roll band. That was what held us together for so long and made us so good, I think, he said modestly. But I'm back here because I love Liverpool. No more fantastic place to rock out the century. Thank you very much for coming. God bless everybody.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 137 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And I'm joined by my friend and my partner, my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, how you doing?
Good evening, sir, and fresh off our unboxing video.
Fresh off the unboxing video. So, yeah, when this is posted on Saturday, if you guys haven't checked that out, please head over to our YouTube channel and check out the Uber George Harrison box set unboxing. Andy was fortunate to get his early, so we had a great time unboxing that sucker. And, man, the thing's massive, isn't it?
That's great. So there it is. There it is.
Yep, there it is. It's a whopper, as you say.
It is. And, any update on your shipment yet?
No. It probably won't ship until release day. I'm sure of that, and that's fine. You know, I got to see yours, and I'm satisfied with that, and I'll listen to it when I get it as well.
So yeah. seeing everything in there now, you happy? You think you're happy?
It's exceeded expectations. Far exceeded. You know, it's just, you know, the gnomes are massive, the crate is massive, just a lot bigger than what I was expecting.
You will thoroughly enjoy it. Yeah,
the book alone looks wonderful. You know, the lithograph or the drawing from Klaus looks excellent, and the presentations for the vinyl and the CDs.
And then just the music itself, the remix oh, yeah, music absolutely. Is tremendous. Yep. It's really good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, as you guys know, I mean, even though we do a Paul McCartney show, we love the other three. We collect the other three as well. So, I mean, it was really cool to be able to get an early glimpse of this set. So, Andy, you know, I'm happy. I'm jealous. Don't get me wrong. But I'm happy for you.
Well, listen, when I told you that it was coming, you were like, okay, we got to figure out when to go live. I'm like, okay.
Exactly. And I think we were the first unboxing video. So,
thank you to Joe Mayo and to Matt Street
for helping Mazzy
to promote it as well. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, excellent. Today's show, we're talking about this guy right here, live at the Cavern Club from 1999. Or the set came out in 2001, I believe, but the show was in 1999.
Live broadcast in 99.
Exactly, and we're gonna talk about that in a few minutes. But first, we got a little show and tell, some news, because last week when we had Scott O'Rourke on the show talking about rockers, we got the news that we were going to get this big secret thing. We didn't know what it was, but we got this montage video of Paul dancing throughout other videos. And then we got these little snippets of this image of what looked like Paul, you know, throughout that video. So, you know, we didn't
all
know what
set
was going
to temporary secretary. So
yeah,
it was like, what is this little,
right.
Is it going to be a box set? What is it going to be?
Right. So then the following day, the Thursday, I believe it was, then it was released and it ended up being the Find My Way video for the Three Imagined.
which my co-host has got, and
we'll show that in a second.
Yeah,
that's a swirl. Yeah, that's a swirl one. So, I mean, you saw it that when it came out. I saw it too that day. And what were your thoughts? What did you think?
It was creepy. It was creepy. I didn't like it.
What didn't you like though?
Well, first of all, I'm just not a fan of the whole project in general.
Okay.
So, and you guys know this. I'm not a fan of I think it's too much, too soon. We're still fresh off the heels, 6 months, 7 months later, McCartney 3. And now we're getting this shoved down our neck again. So I was never into this whole Imagine project anyway.
Right.
The music aside, okay. And the vinyl that I've seen people got ordered, it looks beautiful. It's a nice addition. It's a nice pressing. And I like that it's got Paul's stamp on it. But the video itself, I know. What is this deep scale, whatever.
Deep fake.
I just don't like it. Your cousin brought it out to our attention too. That, you know, is this kind of like the way of the future now, where they're going to just do this?
It's a de-aging thing, you know, and it's the same technology that was used for the Irishman film.
The Irishman. That's different though. Like the Irishman, Joe Pesci was not made to look 60 years younger. Joe Pesci was made to look 20 years younger. Mm. This was like take 80-year-old Paul and make him look like he's 25. I didn't like it.
Fair enough. I mean, because you know, when you're watching The Irishman, it is weird seeing that technology and seeing, you know, a 70, 80-year-old man, you know, now he's, you know, 30, 40, 50, you know, so it does take a little getting used to. But the actual video itself, I didn't mind. I thought it was creative. It was fun. You know, if you didn't like the actual song, then maybe you're not going to like the video then, because the song kind of, you know, I kind of like the beat. I kind of like what Beck did to that particular song. I wish that Beck actually sang it rather than using, you know, Paul's vocals.
Right.
I think I would have liked it better then, but I do like what Beck did to that song. And that's, you know, my favorite song on the McCartney 3 proper, you know, so, but anyway. Yeah, Find My Way. So, I mean, it was fine. It was nice to see the Paul cameo right around the 43, 44 second mark. You know, that was fine. And then you just see him going through all these, you know, different hall, you know,
hallways
or whatever. And then it gets like a little funky dance scene or whatever. And then at the end, you know, he pulls it off the mask and it's back, you know, no big surprise. Hopefully everybody is solid.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, Paul likes this kind of technology stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, Coming Up was a big, you know, technology thing.
For its time.
Yeah, exactly.
And kudos to him. He's always wanted to stay ahead of the curve with that stuff, you know, with the technology, whether it was 1980 or 2021. So I give him credit for that, to wanting to stay, hey, this is a new style of a video. Let me do it. And I give him total credit for that. It's just something I wasn't terribly into.
Fair. Absolutely fair. Now, speaking of McCartney 3, Imagine, so I did.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah. Okay. So I got the email the day before release day stating it was shipped. So, you know, the swirl at that point in time was the only one I bought, you know. So I love this cover. I love this cover. And this was like the cover for the digital presentation.
That's right, the digital version of the album, yes, right? Yes,
exactly. So really nice. So now getting into the vinyl, you know, there are different splatter colors. So you got one that's kind of orange, blue, and green.
The double LP.
Yeah, it's a double LP.
Okay.
Because Deep, Deep Feeling is over 10 minutes long on the, you know, this
on version. On that one?
Yeah, so they had to put it on a double LP.
Two
records. Plus, you get a bonus of Longtail Winter Bird from Idris. Hold a second. I just froze. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get this camera going again here. Sorry about that.
You're fine.
Come on. Technology at its greatest.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. But now this one is more purple and yellow. Okay. So same thing. So not bad. Not bad splatter. I'm happy with it. I think it sounds good. I heard a couple people may have had some issues on it. You know, vinyl or sound wise,
Did you play it yet, Tom?
I played the first song, and because when I heard somebody had an issue with it, I wanted to play it and see what I heard. With it. They had some surface noise or something like that. Mine was quiet, played nice. Now on Friday, on the actual release day, I did end up going to my local record store, because I wanted to pick something else up. But then they had the different cover. Now this is the Indie Gold. Now all the independent record stores, Mortem or whatever you want to call them, they got this copy. Now this is also the same cover for other multiple colors as well. Okay, but this is the one that was the Indie Gold. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I hear you,
It's a beautiful, beautiful vinyl. It's really nice.
Yeah. So, you know, again, happy with it. Played all of this because I did get it, you know, Friday, and I was curious about the Longtail Winter Bird by Aegis Elba. Didn't care for it that much, but it's different. It's interesting. It's almost a completely different song. Really, not a lot to do with. You know, McCartney's Longtail Winterbird proper, you
right?
Know. But it's different. It's different for sure. But yeah, and I got the CD, and then that's it. I'm done. I'm not getting any more.
Two vinyl editions of one CD.
Two. I mean, I was almost tempted to get the silver, the Target exclusive, but I'm like, no, that's it. I'm done. So that's the minor.
I wish I had more enthusiasm for this project. I
hear you. I hear you.
And I don't know maybe. If any people else out there feel that same way. I can't get into it.
Maybe while you're out here and we're all driving to record stores, play it and see what you know.
Maybe.
You know, we'll take that for some of our traveling music or whatnot.
Fine.
Yeah. But you also got something a while ago as well that I want you to...
Yeah, this is the first of these, and this is a McCartney fan magazine called Macazine, and it's been around forever, a good 10 years at least, and I finally bought the first issue, and this is published in the Netherlands, and it's been one of those ones that, you know, you see it advertised in these Beatle fan sites and stuff, and, you see it, and it's like, should I get it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to just go on their website. They've got a great Facebook page, very transparent, very thorough. They're very upfront about what they produce. I mean, I forget the gentleman's name who publishes it, but I got to tell you, it was $24 shipped to the United States, including shipping. Mm-hmm. And it is 164 pages, full color. Okay. Just on the Red Rose Speedway era of Wings. I mean, it's right here, you know, timeline, September of 72 to May of 73. These folks here at this, I mean, they just do a fantastic job. Photos I've never seen before. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, all included here. I mean, labels. I mean, they've got periodicals printed from, you know, reviews of the music that came out at the time, the singles, okay, like Hi, Hi, Hi and stuff like that.
Excellent. Things. Okay.
So there's all contemporary articles, reviews, interviews that are transcribed, and load and session notes and acetates, and I mean anything that made headlines during this period, you know, they cover it here. I mean, it's an incredible publication, and they've got back issues available going back from 2005 all the way to now.
What issue number is that?
So this is Macazine, volume 49, issue one.
Issue one.
And it's, you know, and they've done, I mean, they've got back issues available. Their website is,
do you know?
It doesn't say. I mean, here's the back issues right here that are available. Here's the back issues.
Oh, great.
If you're interested, okay, blah, blah, cool.
Blah. Yeah.
You know, you can, cool. and they list them all, you know. So he's got like, for instance, he's got like a two-parter on New from 2015, two books on New. Mm-hmm. They've got ones on London Town, Venus and Mars, Chaos, Tug of War. So, I mean, if you're just judging by this, I mean, so it's, it's the Paul McCartney Fan Club out of the Netherlands. Their website is McCartneyMagazine.com. They've got a Facebook. They've got a Twitter all listed right here. So it's just very well done. I highly recommend it. Yeah, they've got all, you know, I mean, it's full color, glossy. This is not some cheapy Charlie. You know, this is very, very well done. And I would recommend anybody, you know, you Mac or diehards out there, to pick this up. And I'm sure, Tom, you will at some point as well.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I've known about that magazine for some time.
Oh, forever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't pulled the plug on it yet. But, you know, now with your recommendation, I'll definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we've got photos. We've got photos of A-Track.
Yeah, look at that. That's great. Cassette, A-Track.
Cassette, yeah. Different countries, yeah. Different pressings and stuff like that. So it's incredibly thorough for such a short time frame in the band's history, right? About a year, year and a half, you know, and we've got, you know, a full book on this one period of the band's history, which I think is incredible. If it's any indication, these other back issues are going to be tremendous. And I'm going to order probably a good four or five more, if as many as I can.
Cool. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's, so kudos to the publication, you know, to the publishers of the magazine. And again, they've been around forever, and I was a little late to this as well, but boy, am I glad I finally got this one.
Excellent. Cool. All right. So if you guys have gotten back issues, let us know in the comment section here. If you're watching us on YouTube, tell us what you think of the magazine, and we'll be sure to check out some back issues of that. So great. And glad you got a copy.
That's You'll cool. enjoy it. You'll definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you can see behind Andy there, he's got the Run Double Run LP, which did you get that on the release day for that?
Shortly after there, yeah, on release day. You know, made in the UK, nice custom sleeves here on the inside. Yeah. Tom behind him, he's got the nice 7-inch box.
Yep, box set right there. Right there. Ah.
Well, drop it, but yeah.
Yeah.
The old scarce, hard to come by 90s, late 90s vinyl.
Yeah, that's awesome. Parlophone. Yeah. I love that label. I love the pink. The purple. Yeah. The purple retro label. Yeah. Excellent.
Beautiful record. Probably was about $20 or $30 back then when I got it. Probably close to 30. Cause again, this was not made in the it's not made in the US, UK only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was only made in the UK. Got the sticker on there, but yeah, ties into, you know, what we're talking about again. Chris Thomas co-produced.
Yeah, co-producer. Yes, that's right.
I'll work on that's him. Right.
So yeah, so like I said earlier in the show, we're going to be talking about the live at the Cavern Club. You know, we've been having a good time going back and rediscovering the DVD Blu-ray sets. The concert films. You know, right before you joined us, David and I, we did one on the Love You Make Blu-ray video, which, you know, obviously chronicles the concert for New York. Sure. And that was a lot of fun. So this was definitely something I wanted to continue. And obviously you're very enthusiastic about, you know, most of these sets anyways. There's some clunkers out there, but you know what, this was definitely, you know, one of the better ones. So what do you remember about this at, you know,
well, let me ask you real quick before I answer that. What did is that a DVD you've had in your collection for decades? This was 20 years,
yeah,
or
2001. When it first
so you
came
bought
out.
That? You bought it when it first came out. Okay,
bought it when it first came out. Watched it when it first came out, and you know, sorry to say, you know, it's been probably, you know, 19 years or so since I watched it.
Watched it, but it was really cool.
Yeah, as
you reminded me today, I was thinking, I hadn't seen it. First of all, I couldn't find my DVD, folks, because Tom, when we reached out about doing this topic, he's like, I said, sure. I said, I'm going to my DVD tower in the living room, and I'll scan the titles and I'll find it. Well, didn't find it. So somewhere over the years, I loaned it or I lost it, and I didn't have it. So, but luckily, I found it on YouTube and was able to watch it again. But I did watch this live at the time on DirecTV in December of 99.
Okay, so how do you remember it being promoted?
It was promoted very well on McCartney's site. This was also broadcast online too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
On McCartney's website. I mean, we're talking 1999. So that's early video feed of internet. So it was probably very choppy. It was not probably very good.
A lot of buffering,
and it was all, if you're old enough to remember Real Player, I think it was streamed through Real Player. If you're old enough to remember that media player, which I'm dating myself here, but it was on that, and it was very choppy. But I seem to remember, now I didn't have DirecTV, a buddy of mine had it, and I remember saying, can I come over to your house to tape this thing that's on DirecTV? And I actually recorded it on a VHS
live
at the time, which I remember it being promoted very well, because it was in my, as I think I was 18 or 19 then, saying, you know, it's going to be on at this and such a time, and I've got to see it. And, you know, it's going to be Paul McCartney live at the Cavern, which he had not been back to at all.
63, I think, was the last time.
Well, no, he visited it. There's a nice photo of him and Linda. Oh, playing wise, of course, 63. Right. But it was a nice introduction to me to seeing him back there. And then, of course, I learned years later when I went there how big this event was. And I have some friends of mine that I made that were at that show that watched it, friends that could have went to it. So it was to go there and see it. It was, to see it. Oh, that's the stage where he played, you know?
Right. So talk about that. I mean, talk about going down. I mean, cause it's not actually the real Cavern.
It's not. First of all, it's not the original Cavern, right? As we all know, the original Cavern, if you're in Liverpool and you're on Matthew Street, what is now the Cavern is about 200 feet to your right where you'd go in. The original Cavern in the 60s was about another 200 feet down the road to the right, which is now gone. In the 70s, the town council decided to put an underground train line in, which never went in. So there's been a little bit of a love hate with the Fab Four and the town and the city council over the years, which they have kind of gotten over. But back then, the 70s and 80s, the mood towards the Beatles was decidedly not a good one in the city of Liverpool. They were like, oh, they left us, they're not good, blah, 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 blah. So they rebuilt the Cavern. So when you go to the Cavern now, you go down the steps and you see the main classic stage, the replica, the shell.
Right.
You see that. Okay. This concert that Tom and I are reviewing today happened on the Cavern like main stage, which is to the right. So if you go down to the Cavern, you've got the classic replica Cavern with the that's been replicated, which is where, and there is live music there. There's live musicians that play there every day, and that's in the front because you've got the bar and you've got tables, and that's where the main people go. But when a big artist comes to Liverpool to play in Liverpool, they go to this stage, which is to the right of this area. And you go down the hall, you go down the hallway, and it opens up into a big, big room. And that's where this concert was held back in 99. So when you're watching and you're like, wait a minute, is that the Cavern or is that some other room? It is the Cavern, but it's the bigger area. And that's the Cavern. Obviously, I'm going to give a quick shout out to the guys that own that. And that's Dave Jones and Bill Heckel that own the Cavern, and they're great guys. They are the number one people for tourism and Beatles related tourism in Liverpool. Mm. A quick shout out to Neil Brannan, who also was instrumental in that event also, and was there that night. And he works there as well. And we wanted to try to get him on for this show because they were there, part of it, organizing it, working with MPL, but our schedules couldn't work out. So Neil, you know, I'll send this to you when we're done. But there's so much history. Even now, 20 years later with this show, it's still widely regarded as, hey, that's when Macca came back. You know, he came back and played here, you know. So it's a proud moment for those Scousers and to talk to them about it. And to some people that were at this show, incredible.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, so, you know, just a little backstory. Okay, so this was recorded December 14th, 1999, just 2 months after the release of Run Double Run. So it was put together fairly quickly. I would imagine probably, you know, set up, you know, prior to the album coming out as well, because these things take time, you know, to come up, you know. So the band, you got Macca, you got Gilmore, you got Green, Ian Pace, Pete Winfield, and then you got Chris Call, who comes on and plays a accordion.
Yeah.
And you know, which was pretty cool. Good set. But then this set doesn't come out until June 19th of 2001 on
of a home video release. So you either saw it live in 99 on DirecTV, or that was it until you taped it on DirecTV, or you had to wait for this home video release, which came out in 2000 or 2001. I say it looks like 2000 it came out.
Yeah, I mean, I saw 2000, I saw 2001. Now, there's an interview on the special features of Paul where he's got that 2001 really short hair for Driving Rain. So that's why I'm thinking, you know,
more like 2001.
2001, because again, you know, that's that image of him with that short hair is still very, you know, it's like almost too short.
It's too short.
Yeah, exactly. 2001.
And let's also remember the technology too. Early 2000s, VHS is still a format. DVD is a very new media at that time. So, you know, it was at that weird time where I remember seeing this on VHS in stores. You know, it was finally did come out in 2001. But I remember by 2001 thinking, though, well, that was 2 years ago and I taped it. So like, who needs to buy it kind of thing, you know?
Right. So the DVD, I mean, we'll get to the concert in a minute, but let's just talk about, we'll talk about the bonus.
Yeah, please. Here. Please do.
So you got the two music videos, you got, you know, Brown Eyed Handsome Man. And then you got No Other Baby.
Okay.
You know, which are, I think both of them are on the McCartney Years DVD set.
Yeah.
So, but this is the first place you would have saw them on.
Home video, to watch them on there. Yeah.
Right. Because I don't recall seeing these on MTV. You probably would have saw them in the UK probably more than over here. Because again, you said the vinyl is released in the UK only, right? So maybe, and I know that set was only released in the UK as well, the Run Devil Run 45 set.
The 7, yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, the 7-inch. So, but then you've got a 22-minute interview conducted by Jules Holland, which, you know, is fun to see those two interact sometimes, because I think Jules did some of the interviewing for the Ideology as well.
I was going to say, they went back to Jules again, because Jules was one of the main interviewers for the Beatles Anthology. Right,
right. Right. So, you know, that's fine. I mean, they know each other. They've got chemistry and that's fine. It worked out well. There were some nice little stories that Paul tells, you know, for every release, Paul has the main stories that he goes to, you know, that he repeats, you know, throughout all the promotional interviews and stuff like that, you know. So there's a nice little story, you know, about him, you know, ringing up George that he's back in Liverpool. You know, that's nice. You know, he talks about home. You know, sometimes he would just, you know, he would drive there and just, you know, sit there in the car looking at it and just remembering things like that. So, and I think, which are stories that he's told before as well. And then he talks about all the songs. You know, Jules would just go, you know, list the tracks, and then Paul would talk about the first time that he heard those songs. So that's just a quick little interview. Then there's another interview as well with Paul doing with a female interviewer. And, you know, we get these stories from Paul that sometimes are not 100% accurate. You know, we got this during Memory Almost Full. He talked about how, you know, that medley was the first medley he did since Abbey Road, right? Okay, well, this story, you know, he tells where he'd been wanting to do a rock and roll album for like last 20 years, you know, completely forgetting the Russian album, you know, which is, we talked about with Ghost. I mean, it's not a terrible record. Yeah. I mean, production wise, it might suffer, but there's still good tracks on that. So I don't understand why he would want to forget just because maybe it wasn't received well or what.
He has that penchant for just kind of erasing things from his past.
Right.
That,
exactly.
If it doesn't suit his current narrative, he's just going to just 86 it, you know, and that's, right. That's unfortunate, because that was a good project. Like, and we talked about it with Ghosty,
right.
And you know, he's done covers albums before. Now, obviously, this one has a little more balls to it. It's produced better.
Exactly.
It's a great.
Right.
It's got the entire record and this live concert. I mean, the music, the material is just cooking. All of it. He assembles a great band for it. So
absolutely.
So you know, he's very okay. This is what I'm doing now, and then this is, you know, whatever. Even though I might have done a similar project, I don't really care to acknowledge it.
Right. Exactly. So why, you know, so then again, so those are just one of the cringe moments that you hear from Paul from time to time while he's doing these promotional interviews. But then, you know, you got the band biographies that are just all literature. And then you got a Cat Club biography, which again is literature, rather than producing a live bio of old footage or whatnot, and that's fine. You know, so all together, I mean, it is a nice package with nice bonus features. You know, again, the videos, the two music videos, and the two interviews. So, I mean,
I think you're getting some extra stuff. To look at that, even just for the videos included as a bonus, that makes that DVD a worthwhile purchase.
Just
for the videos that you're getting, because where else before the McCartney years were you going to get those? Nowhere.
Right, and if you like this set, I mean, if you like that project, I mean, it's definitely worth having this as a companion piece, you know, video-wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
know? So the show then, let's talk about the show itself, sure. Because that is the creme de la creme of this set. So the stage, you said, it's not a very big stage, right?
No. It's a big room, but it's a small stage.
Okay.
So the room can probably fit maybe 200 people.
Because it says 300 people on set, 300 people packed. You know,
Fred, that's probably very true. I'm probably for that. There probably was 300 plus, you know, everybody and their mother was trying to beat their, to go to that. But I even know people, my professor for my master's program could have went to that. And he was like, nah, I'm not going to go. I'm good. I don't need to go. Remember asking him, like,
say that.
I remember asking, I said, Dr. Brocken, did you go to this? He goes, Andy, I could have went. Didn't really want to. I'm like, what? How did you not go to this, man? It was one of the first things I found out, like learning about Liverpool and the Cavern. I'm like, did you go to this? Because my professor was also a part-time DJ on BBC Radio Merseyside. He still has a show on. So through his connections in the radio industry, he was able to go to the show at the Cavern. And he was like, man, I'm good. I'm like, I said, what are you nuts? So, but yeah, they packed him in, and I've seen plenty of tribute bands, and I mean, even Adele. I even saw Adele play there. I didn't even know who she was. I didn't even know who she was in 2010. I think it was when she first came out with that big, big album of hers. And I remember being there because I used to go to the Cavern just about, I don't know, every other night and hang out with my friends. And first thing, this is blonde chick, Adele. I'm like, okay, here I am, some Beatle geek. I don't care about Adele. I don't care about anything. And I'm just sitting there listening. But the stage, the room is very, very tight. But I mean, I could just imagine for this concert, I mean, people probably sweating. It probably really did feel like the old Cavern, you know? And, You look at the setup. You know, Ian Pace, the drummer from great drummer from Deep Purple, is in the back. You know, I mean, they're all sandwiched in there on the little stage.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're getting five people on there for the most part, and then you're adding a six with the accordion during at one point. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a very tight image when you're watching it. Yeah.
It really is. It really is, and it tries to mimic the traditional Cavern state front stage, which is where it's really just that kind of old wine cellar with the pitched, you know, bricks and everything else like that. So to walk in there and you see, like, oh, here's where Paul played in December of 1999, and you're like, oh, wow, this is crazy, you know. You see, you know, because now even that concert is like, you know, here we are 20 years later, it's memorialized, you know, everybody remembers it. And not a long show. He only gave you 45 minutes.
Give me 45 minutes. That's right.
Cooking from start to finish.
Oh, this band, you can tell that they'd worked together for a while. I mean, however long it took to record Run Devil Run, and then, you know, obviously doing some sound checks for this show as well. I mean, they're professionals through and through on this.
And I tell you what, it really represents a really rare period in Paul's career, because it's after Linda, and it's before he gets his new, you know, Rusty and Abe and all the guys he's been with for 20 years. He, for one album, he assembles this kind of like really all-star lineup, David Gilmour, Ian Pace, Mick Green, Pete Wingfield, to do a rock and roll album. And like, you're thinking, okay, are these guys going to go back Paul now? Now, Gilmour, as we know, has been on many a McCartney record. Okay.
Right.
You know, so he's got a license, you know, he's got a nice long association with Paul going back to, Wings.
73 with
Dark Side, No More Lonely Nights, and then the Flowers in the Dirt. And then we got married. And then I love this house. And then even still, you've got the, you know, he right around this time, he actually also guested with Paul on Parkinson's, doing a little solo for Your Loving Flame.
Exactly.
So very weird time. Gilmour's around Paul a lot. This album, the promotion, the live show, he brings him in again. And then, you know, this project is, you know, done, shelved. And then he moves on and gets a new band and meets Heather, and everything changes. So I don't even think Heather just kind of came onto the scene at this point,
You know, I was really surprised by the addition of Gilmour for this whole you know, album and DVD package, you know, because
right.
I really didn't think he was a fan of that era of music, but if he was, then great. And I don't know why I'm echoing, but anyways, but you know,
not on my end, brother.
To see him do these songs with Paul is really cool. I just love him work. I think they work together so well. You know what
it's,
I mean?
Yeah, you would have thought that at some point maybe Gilmore would have been on like his guitarist for a whole album, but that never really ever happened. It was just occasional track here and occasional track there. But it is nice to see. And I guess listen, if Paul calls and says, "Hey, look, man, I want to do a dozen.
Oh, you 50s. You run. Yeah,
I want to go do it. I want to go. Yeah. I want to go do. I want to go do a dozen oddball 50 songs that were B sides and not really hits. You want to go do it? Yeah, sure, go do it.
Right.
And I gotta say, I mean, all these songs. I mean, when I got the album, I think I knew 25 at the Rock, obviously, I knew All Shook Up, and that was it. Some of these other songs I had never heard. I don't know about you.
Really? Oh yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, All Shook Up. I knew, Blue Jean Bop has been one of my favorite songs for a long time. I love that song. And obviously, he includes a couple new tracks, which none of them are Run Devil Run, which I was kind of surprised by that. You get the other two new tracks, Try Not to Cry and What It Is. That was kind of a shocker right there that he didn't include that song.
In the live set?
In the live set, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, but you got a McCartney original with Try Not to Cry, which was cool.
And what It Is too, I think, was an original, wasn't it?
And also What It Is too, actually sounded that, but that sounds more like a 50s song.
Yeah,
that one.
True. So, and then you got the surprise with I Saw Her Standing There.
Right, which is, he says in the car, he goes, "Oh, we got a song that's not from the 90s, not from the 50s, but somewhere in between."
Yeah, so let's talk about the actual show. So they come on, they open up with Honey Hush, which, you know, it's a song I vaguely remember. But then also they did that during January 69, didn't they? I think during the Get Back sessions, they fooled around with that song, you know. So it was cool. It was cool to see, you know, Paul do that, you know. You know, it's a hi-ho, silver bit, you know.
Just, yeah, hi-ho, silver.
Yeah. But then I was really happy that they had a Blue Jean. You know, the banter in between songs was fun. You know, as always, he's very engaging with the crowd. You know, the crowd seemed very energetic throughout the whole, 45 minutes. How can you not be, especially in that such a small setting, you know? It's pretty amazing. So,
Go ahead.
You seeing this back in 99. What was your thoughts seeing it then?
I was like, okay, I don't know a lot of these songs, but it's a live McCartney concert. Now, you gotta remember, these appearances were so sporadic with Paul and TV, and how you didn't know if you were going to see it. I mean, like, you know, go back to Flaming Pie with a town hall interview. These were big early internet. So it's like a live McCartney concert. Like, I'm going to go watch it wherever I can go do it, to go see it. I don't really know the material he's doing. Now, the album was already out though by December. I think the album came out in September or October of 99.
October 99.
That's right. Right. The album had already been out. I had bought it. I had listened to it. I liked it. So I knew what it was going to be, but just watching it, I'm like, I was impressed. Even then, I knew Gilmore. I didn't really know the other guys at that time. But I was like, I was all in for it. I'm like, okay, he's going with a new, fresh sound. This record has so much energy to it. The production is off the charts good. I mean, let's go see how they do. And I mean, I was into it from start to finish. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Excellent. And then obviously, then you picked it up on DVD, probably
at some point.
Yeah,
at some point, and it's one of the few that have just gone through the mists of time, as Paul says, and somewhere. I loaned it to somebody, but that was the other cool thing. But just like not knowing these songs, but learning them through Paul doing, which is a lot how so many Beatle fans probably learned the cover songs, because they didn't know the originals. They knew the Beatles doing it. So it's the same thing. Like, to me, like, I don't think I've ever even heard the original No Other Baby, but Paul's version, you know, it's now, and that was just an old B-side they used to do. And you know, it's an incredible song. You know, it's all the Fabulous, which, you know, you only got if you got the single.
Yes, that's right. If you got the box set, and then obviously the single, the CD single. And I think so, but there's a really cool, funny moment in there. And I think it was like, he was talking about Try Not to Cry. I think it was just about there, and he was talking, and then somebody in the crowd yelled Satisfaction. And, you know, and then he goes, like, you know, read my lips. And he goes,
yeah.
To find out in the interview with Jules Holland, I believe it was, he found out that it was a family member that yelled out satisfaction. Yeah,
I am sure out of 300 people, 100 of them had to be family, because his family, he's got cousins and all over the place. So I'm sure half that crowd was mostly family
members. Right.
It had to be. And I know that at one point during the show, he yells out, "Hey, Wags, how you doing?" And I didn't know what he meant at the time. I found out when I lived over there, that means wives and girlfriends. I didn't know that.
Right.
I said, "Hey, Wags." He says that to the crowd in the middle of the concert. Right. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite moments on the song-wise here on the DVD?
So song-wise, for sure, Lonesome Town is tremendous. Right. Try Not to Cry, and hearing him talk about it being a McCartney original, which he says in the show. He goes, "Hey, this is one I wrote that," because it's, you know, that's a song that's kind of, you know, has flown under the radar. It's a McCartney original that he snuck on there. What It Is, great, fabulous. And honestly, I think my favorite one might be Party at the end. I love how they close. Party is just awesome. I mean, it's so quick that it goes so fast that it's over before you know it.
Oh, well, it really is. Same with most of these songs, you know. So quick, you know. For me, like, you know, All Shook Up was great, fabulous. Big fan of Brown Eyed Handsome Man. Blue Jean Bop, as I said, is one of my favorite songs from that era. And, you know, and obviously Honey Hush. So, but the fun part is just watching this band that, you know, hadn't really had a lot of experience playing with each other.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
saying. Like,
he used Dick Green on the Russian album, did he not? I mean, I think he's on that one. So obviously, he had a little work, you know, experience working with Paul. We know Gilmore had some experience, but
Ian,
you know,
the Deep Purple drummer never had it. You know, now that could have been, we don't know, that could have been through Gilmore. Gilmore could have said, "Well, this guy's not doing anything," and then Paul said, "Okay, bring him up. You know, let him in and do it." And
Because we know there was a little turmoil during the recording, because then they bring in Dave Maddox, you know, for whatever reason to help do a few tracks on there as well, because I think it was recorded in two different sessions. But that's for another show. But
Of course, he goes before 20 Flight Rock. He explains, he tells everybody, "This is why I got into the Beatles, because I knew the words." So another one of those fabled stories that we've heard over and over.
Seeing him do that, I mean, I can see him do this over and over again. I mean, see, obviously, he did it for Unplugged as well.
So
he does that song whenever he gets plays, an opportunity,
and that's and he plays it great. He always does. Right. 20. He does. I mean, I can listen to 20 Flight Rock on Tripping Low Life. Fantastic.
Right.
It's incredible. Right.
This is still a great sounding Paul that can command an audience. I mean, he just vocally, just kills every track on this.
Well, listen, was that the beginning of Shake a Hand where he screams? Is that the Just Leave It to Me, Baby? Yeah.
Right.
Listen to that. Listen to the beginning of Shake a Hand. I mean, 1999, we're talking about Paul is probably about what? 21 years ago. Paul's 61. Mm-hmm.
I was just still amazed with how great he sounds on this set. You know, he's excellent. You know what I mean? So
the one thing I really, that it would have been nice is if we got a live album release of this show, not just the video.
Absolutely. I mean, that would have been nice for this. You know, you put the live CD in with the DVD. You know, and
I mean, because the thing about a lot of his releases, bar a few, have gotten that. Like Good Evening New York City, you got video and audio. Tripping, you got Get Back and Tripping. Yeah, Off the Ground, you got Paul is Live, and you know, so you've gotten stuff with it. But other times, but it would have been just. For how one-off this project was, and the people involved with it, it would have been cool if you got a live, because I mean, it was a one-off show, and it was at the Cavern. You know, you wouldn't tell me you couldn't market that. I mean, we put it in with that and bundle it up, or make it its own CD. Come on,
No, perfect. Yeah, so I mean, I definitely recommend this set for Paul fans. But if you're like, again, like I said, if you're a fan of the Run Devil Run, CD, then get find that you can still find the live at the cavern. You probably still find it on eBay
or watch it on YouTube, yeah, like I did today.
Exactly, watch it on YouTube. But if you're, you know, a physical media fan, you know, you can find it. You can still find a used bookstores or used record stores.
You might find it for $5 in a used bin or something. Exactly. I think for the looking at it in contextually, it's looking at it for it being such a one-off project album and this live show, it's worth owning because this was not a reoccurring thing. It was a one-off thing. It was a one-off album and a one-off live show. So on those grounds alone, for a 50-plus year solo career, it's worth looking into.
Oh, absolutely.
That.
So like if you ever got like a Run Devil Run archive box set, you better be damn sure we better get the Live at the Cavern Club as the DVD.
So. Yeah. And I know we're talking about the album too, but I kind of think you have to because they're so closely associated, the live show. And listen, the live show is not long. It's 45 minutes and it's great from start to finish.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do like the fact though that in the live show he threw Try Not to Cry in and What It Is. But even on the album, you got three proper McCartney songs, originals on there.
Right. Exactly. So great presentation, great layout. The menu is fine. The DVD, the special features are really good and informative, especially around that time. One looks like it was right around the 99 period, and then there's the other one that looks like it was around the 2001 period, 2001 period. So obviously, it looks like he went back and did another bonus feature for the DVD release. So you will see Paul in two different haircuts.
Looks right now. Obviously no Blu-ray release of this.
No, it's never been upgraded to Blu-ray.
It hasn't.
And hopefully,
and we should also. Be great. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that would be great if you did go back and upgrade some of these DVD releases to Blu-ray, because then especially really if they're recorded on film, I mean, it would be great just to get a transfer on a high def, Blu-ray.
Right. And also, I should have mentioned this at the top. This film, of course, was directed by Jeff Wanfor, who's done his long association with Paul.
So actually, I just followed him on Twitter. Hopefully he's still around.
Oh, good. You did. Okay. Yeah. Hit up the DM. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it represents such a small period in time of Paul's career, but, fresh off after Linda passing and jumping into a project with both feet and just rocking out and having a good time. And I think that's why myself and a lot of other people were like, okay, Paul, a lot has gone on. The Flaming Pie, Linda passes away. He's doing a live concert. Like, this is pretty special. That's how I remember that.
Right. And that's one of the stories he talks about in one of the interviews where, he's talking about how he didn't sing or perform for a year after Linda's passing. So he was unsure of himself whether he could, sing these songs or even play these songs on bass because, he hadn't done anything for a year. But then he goes, but the other guys haven't played these songs either. So it would be kind of like,
learning together,
learning together. Exactly. Right.
I was locked when I was watching the concert again today. I was trying to look at the bass and see if it was his original Hofner bass or was it the replica. But I think it was the replica because I didn't see the tape set list.
Right, the tape set list, yes.
Because I didn't know if that was still early on the point where he was still – because I know that when he busted that back out in 89, he was using the original one. But I think by this point, he had the replica made. But I was just trying to see if maybe he'd use the old one still.
Probably for best. You never know when that thing's just gonna fall apart.
don't use the Rickenbacker by all means. Don't use the Rickenbacker. Freaking Paul, play the Rickenbacker.
He's getting older. That thing's heavy.
I know that the Rickenbacker must be so heavy too compared to that because the Hofner's light. He can play that Rickenbacker. 35-year-old Paul and wings. He can handle that Rickenbacker no problem. Now it's older, 60. I'm gonna go use the lightweight thing. Right. It's a great concert film. It's quick. If you don't know the music and you haven't seen this concert film, it's worth watching because it doesn't take a lot of your time up, and you get to see Paul in Liverpool play. And again, he wouldn't have played the Cavern again until 2018, almost 20 years later.
That's right, for Egypt Station promotion.
Correct. So, you know, it's worth it just for that. Just he didn't, he played the Cavern again just a couple of years ago. So, on that same stage. So definitely, check it out. I mean, every song is awesome, and you may not know these songs, but I didn't know most of them. And these are Paul covers, and they're, right. They rock.
Exactly.
And on a video too.
Exactly. Yep. Awesome. Great. All right. That's our look at the DVD of Live at the Cavern. Definitely recommend that set. A lot of fun, a lot of energy, and a good time, you know, and it, you know, I can see myself, you know, what, you know, not taking 20 years to watch this, you know what I mean? I can see myself going back and watching it sooner rather than later again, because you just forget how good this show is.
And it is. And kudos to you, Tom, for coming up with these topics to revisit these things, because they give us purpose to go, hey, let's go pull that DVD that's been on the shelf.
Let's get the dust off the top there.
Yeah. Oh, let's go pop that thing in. Okay. Exactly. And I like that, because it gives gives you a reason to go look at it again.
Exactly. You know, look at it for older eyes, or, you know, or whatnot. And then just, you know,
so thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. Great. So, okay. Yeah. So Andy, anything you want to, add before we sign off?
No, I think we're good. Well, our subs have gone sky high since the Harrison unboxing.
So
thank you for that. Thank you very much. We want to eventually get to 1,000. We know we're way away from that, but thank you everybody who's checked out our page. And we try to keep really consistent. Listen, we're very passionate about Paul. Tom and I talk all the time, coming up with concepts, ideas, ways to keep the show vibrant and live. And we're, you know, we did Ranking the Tracks, and we do live stuff, and we really try to kind of keep everything fresh. And for somebody who's so well known but has such an incredible discography, kudos to Tom for coming up with ways to keep the show going and coming up with topics. So, you know, it's you know, and that's all part of YouTube, and you guys are out there watching that. So thank you.
Yeah, and if you are new, please go back and check out some of the old episodes. We really appreciate hearing your thoughts on those if you're new to the show. Like Andy said, you know, we spent all of those months ranking the tracks, and we'd love to see your rankings on those albums as well. And you know, and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to continue that conversation, and it's been a lot of fun. So the YouTube channel is growing. We're really happy about that. And this right now, what is it, July? This has been so far our best month ever throughout the show, audio wise and video wise. So again, I can't stress enough how much we really appreciate all the newcomers and all the oldies that have been sticking with us all these years. We really appreciate you guys being here. I just can't stress that enough. But you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. Again, that YouTube channel is Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. Please check it out and subscribe. I think you'll like it. Twolegspodcast.com for our website. You can get all the videos there, and all of our Twitter feed and stuff like that there. So check that out if you want to. Andy, hopefully you'll be back soon with your Anything But the Beatles show with our friend Ethan Alexanian. Looking forward to that coming back. And that's about it. So Andy, good seeing you again.
Talk to you soon, my brother.
Yeah,
and
it's been fun as well. You know, as always, it's good seeing you and catching up with you. And you know, a couple more weeks, you'll be out here, and we're just gonna have a great time with Ethan and do a ton of record shopping.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
All these Phoenix record stores. I'm gonna get ready.
It's gonna be epic. It's going to be epic. But anyways, everybody out there, thank you again. And as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.